A few years ago, one of the kids in my online coaching program said to me, "Coach Rebecca, I wish we could just go to a gym and have you as our coach. We would all be so happy and so confident." And that warmed my heart, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, that would be the best." And that comment stuck with me for years. So now I'm going to do something about it. I am inviting gymnasts from all over the country to join me for the first ever Confident Gymnast Camp this August 3rd and 4th. This camp is all about breaking through mental blocks. So if you're struggling with a skill and you want me and my team to help you break through in real time, then check out confidentgymnast.com for details.
I was always flipping in the house since I was a little kid. And I had a lot of energy and my mom knew I needed an outlet. So she put me in gymnastics when I was 2 and I started out with rec classes. By the time I was 5, I was doing back handsprings. My coach ended up talking to my mom and was like, "I think we should get her into competitive gymnastics." I fell in love with it instantly and I did gymnastics all the way until I turned 18. I devoted my entire life to it. It became my everything. Once I got up into the higher levels, I started getting injured quite frequently. I was also from a very small location, but I was so determined to be the best at whatever I could do. I was at state gymnastics championship my junior year of high school. While we were there, we saw this ad for a Pure Athletic college clinic. While I was there, I was recruited by Fonte Johnson and Monica Adama, telling them a little bit about myself. I was like, "I've never cheered before. I'm literally just here for fun." They were really adamant about me coming to visit both programs because I'm also extremely tiny. I'm 4'8" at 20 years old, and it's really hard to find the twinkle tiny. Season 1 came out of Netflix here, and I was like, "Mom, this is the lady that was recruiting me to college that is now the number one biggest TV show on Netflix." I ended up choosing Trinity Valley, the most prestigious college cheerleading teams in the entire world. And that was the best decision I've ever made. I quickly got into cheerleading, and from there, it's all taken off. I still make gymnastics every day, but I don't think I would be the cheerleader that I am today and would have been able to pick up the technique and the body lines needed. When I think of fear, I think of fear of failure. I went to partner stunt. I dropped. I went to Daytona. My team lost. And I tried out for Team USA that year and also didn't make the team. So it was like 3 really hard low lows, like the worst feeling ever. That's kind of where I realized what was holding me back in gymnastics. I was working for the medal. I wasn't working for being the best or a good leader, having good character. I was working to win. That's also something that I think every elite athlete has in common. They don't get the trophy at the competition. We win the trophy at practice. We just pick up the trophy at the competition.
Where does that confidence come from?
I would say
hi guys, on today's podcast, I am chatting with Haley Jalynn Smith, who was 2021 Texas Cheerleader of the Year, a 7-time All-American cheerleader, about how she developed determination, dedication, and grit from her 16 years as a competitive gymnast, bounced back from so many setbacks, personally, injuries, only to become recruited by the coaches of Navarro and Trinity Valley Cheer, which are the most prestigious junior college cheer. You might know them from the Netflix series Cheer. They recruited her with zero cheer experience. So through this whole process, she developed unshakable self-belief that has made her the best in the world. She is so inspiring. Here we go. Hi, everybody. Welcome to a special episode of the Perform Happy podcast. My guest today is Haley Jalynn Smith, who is one of the top cheerleaders in the world, just got signed to Weber State. She's on Team USA this year. She has got a long career in gymnastics that she pulls from, but I'm just so excited to dive in. Welcome, Haley. Nice to have you.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited.
So, of course, we have a lot of gymnasts in the audience. So I'd love to kind of start off with your gymnastics career and how you know, it sounds like you were gunning for the Olympics in gymnastics, but yes, then things have changed, obviously. So tell us about how you got started in gymnastics.
So I was always just flipping in the house since I was a little kid. I was also very talkative as a child too, and I had a lot of energy, and my mom knew I needed an outlet to get that out. So she put me in gymnastics when I was 2, and I started out with like little rec classes, you know, just basic beginner toddler classes. And by the time I was 5 or 6, I was doing back handsprings and things like that already. So my coach ended up talking to my mom and was like, I think we should put her on a club team and get her into competitive gymnastics. And I fell in love with it instantly. And I did gymnastics from the time I was 2 years old all the way until I turned 18. And I never once took any break. I just loved it. I devoted my entire life to it. And it became my everything. And once I got up into the higher levels, like level 8 and 9, I started getting injured quite frequently just because you know how dangerous the sport is. And I was also from a very small location. I lived in San Angelo, Texas, and we had two club teams there. One was called Concho Valley, and one was called Texas Tumbleweeds. And I was going back and forth between those, depending on like the coaching staff. And we didn't have like coaches that were exposed to teaching higher level skills at the time. So I was kind of teaching myself everything, which also wasn't necessarily like the safest idea, but I was so determined to be the best at whatever I could do. So throughout all of that, I got injured pretty frequently. And you know how the gymnastics world is. If you're not on the national team by the time you're 15, you're more than likely not going to the Olympics, you know, just how super competitive it is nowadays. So I ended up deciding to stay with club gymnastics, and I also did competitive Texas gymnastics for my high school as well, which was super fun, and I loved that the high school I went to provided that for us, and we ended up going undefeated all 4 years that I was there, and it was awesome to be a part of a program that had been winning for so long. I want to say like my freshman through senior year, we had been the regional and district champion for 20 years in a row. And then at state we won. Yeah. And then at state we won like 3 years in a row. So that was super awesome to be like a part of a legacy and add to that and leave a good precedence for everyone that's coming after me. And along that way, I was actually at a state gymnastics championship in Dallas, Texas, my junior year of high school. And while we were there, we saw this ad on a Facebook site for a cheer athletics Clause 7 like college clinic. And my mom was like, we should go. And I mean, you also know how gymnasts are. There's no cheerleading in mind. It's looked down upon, honestly, as like the lesser of the two. And everyone in gymnastics is like, you know, the top. And I had no idea what cheering really was at the time. So I was like, Mom, I'm not doing that. And she was like, No, I already paid for it. We're going. And I was like, Oh, okay. So I went. And while I was there, I was recruited by Vontae Johnson and Monica Aldama. And this was prior to Netflix Cheer season 1 coming out. So I didn't even know who they were. Like, I had no idea. I was just like telling them a little bit about myself. I was like, I've never cheered before. I'm literally just here for fun. And they got my mom's information and my information. And they were really adamant about me coming to visit both programs because I'm also extremely tiny. I'm 4'8" at 20 years old. And I'm built like a gymnast, but like they like that build because they need the tip top of the pyramid in college. And it's really hard to find, like, they call us the twinkle tinies. It's like hard to find the twinkle tinies at 20 years old that are like look like children. So they were really adamant about getting me there. And I went to visit Navarro first. And I fell in love with cheerleading there. I discovered partner stunning. I saw them doing baskets and tumbling. And I was like, oh, I want to do this. I was like, this looks like so much fun. And then season 1 came out of Netflix Cheer. And I was like, Mom, this is the lady that was recruiting me to go to her like college that is now the number one biggest TV show on Netflix. I was like, Mom, what is going on? This is a dream. And after that, I ended up going to visit Trinity Valley. Because Vontae was like going above and beyond for getting me there. He came to visit me in San Angelo several times to eat dinner with me and my mom. And he also went and supported me at my last gymnastics competition of my life. And that just meant a lot to me, like him being there, because it was like a transition, you know, into leaving this career and opening the next door. So I ended up choosing Trinity Valley, and that was the best decision I've ever made. And I did quickly just got into cheerleading, and from there it's all taken off, and it's been amazing. I still miss gymnastics every day, but I don't think I would be the cheerleader that I am today and would have been able to pick up the technique and the body lines needed for partner stunning and pyramids if I hadn't have had that like engraved in my brain since I was a child.
Man, I mean, it's so cool to just see how your path has just unfolded for you. Like you just sort of keep walking along, and it's like, oh, I guess I'm going this way. Okay, mom. Oh, I guess this lady's famous, and maybe I should. Okay, and I really like this. This is fun. I mean, what a great way to have your life unfold is that you just like, well, I like doing this, and that's fun. So I'm going to try that. I mean, this is exciting. I like these people. Let's try it. So it doesn't sound like there was a lot of like, I have to do this or I need to prove something. It was just, this is fun for me. So let's just keep trying.
It definitely started out that way, but the cheer world is cutthroat. It is a lot different. It's similar in a lot of ways to gymnastics, but in cheer, it's weird because the way that the competition is, like you all compete together, you know, like we're all on the mat at the same time. And in gymnastics, it's very much like an individual sport, you know, like you want your teammates to do good, but at the same time, you're competing directly against them, you know, so it's a little bit different mindset, but I would definitely say the proving myself and all of that has come later, like last year and this year. That's been kind of more of my focus, but it definitely started out with the fact that I just loved gymnastics so much and I needed an outlet that was very similar to that, that would keep me busy and also pay for school. So,
Which is, I mean, what an amazing gift to be able to do that through a
thank you.
sport that you love. That's so cool. Now, I remember you said something that you were not the most, you know, it didn't come that easily to you. The gymnastics didn't just come easily. It built your determination, your dedication, your discipline. That's my story. I was not the best kid in the gym, but I worked as a result. So, okay, how does not being the most natural athlete actually benefit you today?
I think it basically made a way for me to separate myself from everyone else on my team. All of the kids that I'm competing directly against have been like what we call all-star babies. They did all-star cheer like from being 2 years old all the way to now, like I did gymnastics. But in gymnastics, like I said, I'm extremely small. I'm not naturally like a very muscular kid. So vault was ex especially hard for me, especially when I started getting to the flipping and spinning vaults like that. Chenko, Sooks, those were super difficult for me to generate the power that I needed when there were other kids that would do it literally first try. And I'm just like, how? Like, how? So it took me doing countless extra hours outside of practice in the gym to even catch up to them or stay at the same level as them. And that on top of the fact that I just loved what I do. And you know, you never work in your life if you love what you're doing. So it never felt like a chore to me. I loved being out there and I loved being the one getting all of the extra reps. And I think that that is kind of what drove me to being where I'm at in cheerleading now. Any coach that I've had over the last 2 years now, and even my Team USA coach now, like they look at me and they're like, you are the hardest worker in the room. Like there's no one else that we can say that ever outworks you. I come in every day and it's 150%. My mind is where my feet are, and I'm making sure that I'm giving everything that I can because as much as like this is a team sport now, it's still an individual sport kind of for me. And that's where I love how I've gotten into the world of partner stunning because that is as an individual as it gets in cheer. And it's really just me and my partner out on the floor, just like being at floor in gymnastics. And the amount of hours that you have to dedicate outside of team practice to be good at partner stunt is more than anything that I was ever prepared for. I spent probably 6 extra hours outside of practice every single day, the entire first year that I did cheerleading, because I had so much to catch up. Like all of these people came in having done all of these elite skills. I had not even done like a toss hands. And that's like the first thing they teach flyers is they toss hands. Like I hadn't even done like step one. So I was outworking everybody that had all of this natural talent. And that on top of like the grit, the dedication, the determination that I had to learn from gymnastics, the getting hurt in gymnastics, but still having to come back like 2 weeks later because you have state or you have regionals, you know, and nationals and all of that stuff that I feel like in cheerleading they didn't necessarily have to deal with because when you get hurt in cheer, there's three others of you, you know? Yeah, like they just replace. Yeah, it's pick and replace. It's a business in cheer. And I really had to find a way to separate myself from everybody else I was around. So that way I got to the level where if something did happen, there was no replacement for me. And it had to get to that type of attitude where I wasn't going to give them a single reason to like not can look at me and think that I'm the best one there. And like a quote that I really think like applies in cheerleading is hard work does beat talent every single time. And I do think I was blessed that I will admit, I think partner stunt came a little bit easier to me than it does most people. But I give all of that credit to gymnastics because all of those lines that you need in partner stunt are the lines you need for beam and bars. And that's exactly, it felt like the same exact thing for me. And like, I've also loved how gymnastic skills like Diomedovs and things like that are now transferring over into the cheer world. And it's really like a combination of both of the things I love. So it's been nice to be able to also bring over a competitive mindset that I had like to my cheer friends too, and help them and guide them.
Awesome. Now, you know, a fear was a big part of my gymnastics and cheer life. Were there ever any kind of mental obstacles that you hit either in gym or in cheer? Hey guys, quick announcement break. Right now, we at Complete Performance Coaching are looking for 5 athletes who are ready to break through their mental blocks for good. If that sounds like you or your child, then sign up for a free consultation call with one of my amazing coaches as soon as possible to see if you're a good fit for our Perform Happy Elite training program. This program includes one-on-one coaching with the world's top mental performance coaches, plus tons of support for athletes and their parents in between sessions. You can sign up today at completeperformancecoaching.com/consult. Talk to you soon.
So, fear, I would say, has started to become, I guess when I think of fear, I think of fear of failure, not necessarily fear of skills.
Yeah.
I've never been one to get mental blocks or anything. I really try to empathize for teammates and stuff that I do see go through that. I've never personally had to deal with that. But also, if you look at my track record, I've been injured and broken just about everything on my body. So maybe a little bit of fear would have been good for me because I just throw stuff. I just like chunk it and I go through it 150%, like parallel, you know, tunnel vision. And I would say with the whole fear side of things in gymnastics, if I messed up, it was I'm only letting myself down and I would be disappointed in myself. And with cheerleading, if I mess up, I'm letting my entire team down. And it's also a little bit different in regards to gymnastics. You have like 12 competitions before the biggest one of the year. You know, you have time to get all the nerves out. In cheerleading, we have one and we train just as much as gymnastics, maybe even longer. And you don't get any opportunities to get the nerves out. You have to make sure that you are training your mind as much as you are training your body, because like that is the only opportunity. And kind of like what I was saying, like there is no room for error. And if you mess up, like you lost the competition for your team in that whole year. So it's a different type of pressure in cheerleading, I would say. And in gymnastics, it's more like you want to do good for yourself and your team. And in cheer, it's like, yes, I want to hit, but I need my team to win because they've also worked so hard.
Mm-hmm. Something you mentioned is being just really present. Like you are just doing what you're doing when you're doing it. If your partner's stunting, you are not anywhere but right where you are with your partner. Mm-hmm. What are some things that you've done? And is this something that just came naturally? Is this something that that your life outside of the gym allowed you to kind of like zone in and just be present? What are some tips that you would give for people that's a challenge for, to be really present while they're doing their skills?
So I feel like for most kids, a lot of the issues come from outside distractions, whether that's like drama with people at school or you're having issues with people on the team. And one thing that I actually have had like literally every single coach tell me, because I always have gone through this, is never let anyone steal your joy. And I went through many episodes growing up where I'm sure every kid has gone through this, where they go through time periods where they're like, I just don't want to do this anymore. And it's because of like a specific person on the team that's making you feel that way. And it's not because you don't love gymnastics. It's because like there's a mean girl on the team that isn't being a good teammate. And I always had the same talk with my coaches. They're like, Haley, why are you letting this person steal your joy? Like, why are you letting them take the love that you have for gymnastics? And I was like, you know what? You're right. I'm like, why am I doing that? And also, I think it's really beneficial too for kids to realize now that pretty much every obstacle you go through that like doesn't have to do with your sport is temporary. And 5 years from now, you probably won't even remember it. And two, you probably won't even talk to those people anymore. And my mom used to tell me that. And of course, I never believed her. I was like, no, these are my friends for life, mom, you know. But once you leave high school, go to college, like there's probably a handful of people you still talk to, you know, from that you grew up with. And that was definitely a skill I had to learn, was to think about where my feet are at right now. And also too, I've noticed when I'm not mentally present, I get hurt too. Like I'll be so emotionally stressed and having anxiety about something that doesn't even have to do with what I'm doing. And not only in cheerleading is it a hazard for my teammates that have to catch me, but in gymnastics, it's a hazard for myself because there is no one to catch me. Like if you fall, like you're on the ground, you know? So you really just have to train your mind to make sure that we're focusing on only what we're doing. And I would also say too, like you should never walk away from a practice with energy. Like that means you didn't give everything you had for that day. And I think that that's kind of like a trick that I use, is I physically drain myself to death to where there is no room for outside thoughts except for I have to make it through this 3.5 hour practice and make sure that I'm giving my all every single rep. And I think that that is something that has really helped me going from gymnastics, because you know gymnastics practices are so long and there's no like time for breaks. It's just like routine after routine after routine. And in cheer, it's kind of the same way. It's just a different type of stamina. And I've really had to learn how to like channel my emotional energy into physical energy too, because your mind is the first thing that quits before your body does, you know?
Yep, absolutely. And that's such a great tip because it's energy that's used. So if you're up there going, oh no, I'm stressed, or I have school, or this person is driving me crazy, that is actually burning calories in your
It is.
brain that can't be used to focus in and stretch your comfort zone physically.
Right.
Yep. And now you had a single mom growing up, right?
Yes.
So I would love for you to give the mamas in the audience some tips. What did she do right that set you up for success?
I will say what my mom did right was with every hardship that I ever had in gymnastics, whether it was like a skill, I remember vividly getting my kip as like a kid was so hard for me. That was the skill I was crying to mom about every single night. I was like, Mom, I don't think I can do gymnastics anymore. I can't get this skill. And what my mom always said was she would never, ever let me quit on a bad day. She was like, okay, you're gonna go to practice tomorrow and have the best day of your life. And then after practice, if you still wanna quit, I'll respect it. But she was like, you're not quitting while you're crying. Like, this is not happening. And I think that that was really something that gave me like the grit that I have now. Like, there is nothing that will shake me now at this point in my life. I've been through a lot of things. And I will definitely say at the time, I was really frustrated with my mom. But looking back, it was that mentality that she instilled in me at such a young age that's made me the person I am today, where like you can't let things like that shake you, like little trials and tribulations. Like, you need to make sure that you're going in every day and walking away and focusing on the positives. And that was another thing that my mom, I think, always did a really good job about, was rather than asking me like how practice went, she would word it very specifically. She was like, what good things did you do today? Or like, what new skills did you work on? It was always like conditioning my brain to think about the positives, because I feel like as a gymnast, we're all naturally very pessimistic. It's always, what did we do wrong? It's never, oh, I stayed on the beam. You know, it's, oh, that wasn't a perfect 10. And in cheerleading, I would say the skill technique is a little bit more lax in gymnastics. Like if you land on your feet, it's a 10 in cheer. You know, it's not like no steps really. And going from that mindset where I have to be perfect into a cheer mindset has been a little bit hard with the transition. And I feel like a lot, I'm also hard on my teammates sometimes too. And I have to realize that the standard is a little bit different. But that whole mentality of my mom as a kid teaching me to constantly focus on the positives has really made me leave practice every single day as an adult now, always feeling like I did my best. And rather than like wishing I could have done more or comparing myself to others, I'm never comparing myself to others. It's always, what did Haley do that was great today?
Wow. I mean, imagine being a 12-year-old with that superpower. Like, how incredible someone would be. If you could go back and talk to your 12-year-old self, the biggest advice that you would give her?
I would say be more confident in my abilities. I never learned to have confidence in myself until cheerleading, which is really sad. And I feel like I could have gone so much further, honestly, in gymnastics if I had had like the courage to go to a different gym even or move to a different location in Texas. But I'm really scared of change, and going from cheerlead or gymnastics to cheerleading was probably the biggest step of change I ever did in my life, and it opened up the most doors that I've ever had. And these last 2 years have been truly life-changing. And looking back at 12 years old, I actually got an opportunity to go to WOGA, and I ended up not going. And I often wonder like where I would be now had I have gone. But also, I'm kind of glad that I didn't, because I feel like if I would have gone there, I wouldn't have been ended up in cheer, honestly, because there would have been no reason to. And I would say definitely just be kinder to myself and realize that like where I'm at is great, and where I'm at right now is exactly where I'm supposed to be. And I've also been someone that like I don't want to say I don't feel successful, but I'm very goal oriented. So anytime I accomplish a goal, it's like great, on to the next. It's never like, wow, I did really good. Like I'm proud of myself. So I definitely need to be better with that. But I'm like the definition of proud but never satisfied. So I would tell my 12-year-old self to actually look in the mirror sometimes and be proud.
Yeah, it's hard. And because there's a benefit too, like perfectionism has a sparkly side and a dark side. And the sparkly side is I work, I don't let up, I grind and grind, people can count on me, it's gonna be an A plus. I know what I'm capable of and I give and I make it happen. But then the other side is I never feel good enough. And that, it's like, that to me is like going up the down escalator where you're working and working, but your confidence is always going under because you're like, but it wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough. And I'm curious if you know, as that like hard driving 16-year-old were to give a little more self-compassion and a little more pats on the back, what would that have done to your effort? Would it have dropped your effort? Do you have any guess on what that would do at that phase?
I will say I can say 100% with confidence it wouldn't have dropped my effort, because I that's just how I am. I'm gonna keep giving 100 no matter what. And even now that I've been like very successful in my field, it's the effort doesn't stop. Like at this point, I'm not competing against anyone else. I'm competing against myself now. And it's to the point where I'm trying to create new skills. I'm trying to change the culture of cheerleading and like up the level. I'm sure you're familiar with Olga Corbett. You know how she kind of changed the face of gymnastics and introduced the difficulty side. Like that's my goal with cheerleading, is I want to do skills that people thought was never possible. And I want to mainstream them and teach the techniques to everybody, to where that like the entire level of cheerleading gets elevated to where we can be in the Olympics soon. And I know that in the future we're supposed to be in 2032, but they also say that every year, so I don't know if it's actually going to happen. But like that is definitely like where I'm at, is I don't think if I was more compassionate with myself, I don't think the effort would have dropped. I just think I would have been drastically better, honestly. And in gymnastics, and I think it would have came easier to me, because I really do think like the biggest thing that was holding me back was not like talent necessarily, but it was the lack of my ability to recognize like that I was on a good path, if that makes sense, in gymnastics.
Yes. And you found that ability now. And you found that confidence. And something that underpins this quality of the elite athletes, there's studies done that every elite athlete has this one thing in common that's unshakable self-belief. It's where they just know I'm the one to beat. You get out there, and the way you get to that place is through failing and hard stuff and things not going well and overcoming and coming back. And then you get to this point where you're like, bring it on, life.
Yeah, that actually does bring me to kind of a story that I want to tell about my first year in cheerleading. So, again, I came to Trinity Valley. Trinity Valley Navarro, the most prestigious college cheerleading teams in the entire world. They're feed-in schools. So when you hear of the big name squads like Texas Tech, that's a feed-in. Everyone that's at Tech for the most part is from Trinity Valley or Navarro. Weber State, Trinity Valley and Navarro. Like you start there, that's where you are made basically as an athlete. And everyone that goes there too is also like untouchable. You in the cheer world, like we are called JUCO products, and they purposefully go to our school every year to get these JUCO products because just the mindset that we have and the amount of work that we had to do competing against like each other, like there is no other school that will top Trinity Valley and Navarro. Like it is, this is the pinnacle of cheerleading. And then now I would say Weber State is finally topped them, and Weber State is like untouchable now, but that's because of the like grit, the dedication, determination, discipline, all of that stuff that we learned from these JUCOs. And anyways, just giving you that backstory, my first year of cheerleading, I had never done a cheer competition before. I got asked to hop on an all-star team for NCA because they needed a flyer. And I was like, sure, why not? I go in, I win. I was like, oh, cheer will be easy, right? And you remember how we were talking about if I get awarded, would the effort stop? This was an example of me getting complacent. And since this happened, I have never ever done this again. And that easy win that I got was little to no effort. I literally hopped on the team 2 weeks before. I went to probably three practices and won the second most prestigious all-star cheerleading competition in America. It was super easy, but it shouldn't have been that way. And then I went to partner stunt. I dropped. I went to Daytona. I did good at Daytona, but my team lost. And that's because we lacked a lot of leadership that year. And I realized that I can't depend on anybody for that leadership. I have to be that leader. So that kind of transitioned my entire attitude, was like losing those two competitions taught me. Oh, and I tried out for Team USA that year and also didn't make the team. So it was like one really, really high win with three really hard blow lows, like the worst feeling ever. And that definitely kind of shifted my mindset as an athlete altogether. And I figured out that the type of person that I want to be seen as by others, and the type of like effect that I want to leave on them, and how to make an impact on my team. And it's like not how good you are. That's not what people remember. It's how you treated them. And I really wanted to give people this confidence that I wish I hadn't gotten help with, and that I didn't have to figure out on my own. So transitioning into last year, I went in, I knew I was going to lead this team to victory. I was like, if we need leadership, I'm going to be that person. I'm not letting anyone, like, I'm not going to wait for anyone else to step up and fill that role. Like, I'm going to be there, and whoever else wants to step up with me can. And we actually led Trinity Valley to being the first ever team to like hit zero both days on the band shell. Trinity Valley is known for always dropping day one, which is really unfortunate. And that's kind of why we lost my rookie year. Last year, we actually hit both days. And I really thought we had it, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I was so proud of my team. I walked off the floor both days, and I can still say to this day that performance that I personally had was the best performance I think I've ever put out in my entire life. Like, with the perfection behind it, like, there was zero error both days for me. And like, I still get emotional thinking about it because, like, that was probably the biggest time in my life that I felt like truly proud of myself. And then we got to awards and we lost. And that was also like a really hard thing for me to go through. And I still get really emotional thinking about it because when you put so much effort and work into something and you don't get awarded for it, it's like, why am I doing this? You know? And I went through a lot of the self-doubt and the stuff that we were talking about. And then that's kind of where I realized like what was holding me back in gymnastics. Was I was working for the medals. I wasn't working for like being the best or for being like a good leader, having good character. I was working to win. And that's also something that I think every elite athlete has in common, is they don't win, they don't get the trophy at the competition. We win the trophy at practice. We just pick up the trophy at the competition. And that was like the hardest lesson I had to learn last year, but that lit a fire under my butt more than anything else has ever lit a fire under my butt. And now this year, I've made Team USA. I've qualified first out of every college in the country for partner stunt. I'm on the NBA team for Utah Jazz. Like, it really just flipped a switch in my mind again that I needed to realize like what had been holding me like back. And it was this need for validation. And no one else is going to give you that validation. You have to look at yourself in the mirror. And like you said, you have to have this unshakable belief that I'm untouchable. And Like, that is what losing actually taught me, was like, that trophy didn't say I lost. That trophy just meant that, like, the judges didn't agree with our performance. And even though my team put out the best routine, I know we won together. We may have just not left with the trophy that year. It's that type of mentality.
Ooh. Oh, and that is so powerful that you earn that trophy every day in practice and you just pick it up in competition. Ooh, that's, I think about the 2016 Olympic team in Rio, Simone and Ali, and they got interviewed. You know, what were you thinking when you walked out on that floor in Rio? They're like, well, we're the world champions. There's no question. We're just here to collect, basically. That same, that like there it's and it's not this sort of like high horse ego. It's
It's not.
just facts. It's just we're doing the math on what we have put in, what we're capable of, what we're here to do. So let's go collect our trophy. I
And
mean,
I will say, when you're under pressure, if you do have even a slightest bit of doubt, it will come out. Like, you have to walk out. And it's not cockiness, it's confidence. Like, there is a difference. And you have to be able to walk out there and know that, like, nothing can touch you and nothing will faze you. Like, that is super true.
And where does that confidence come from when it's present in you, when there is no doubt? What did you do to earn that?
I would say, I learned how to perform in practice every day as if I'm out there competing right in that moment. And that means facials, that means energy, that means yelling for my teammates. I make sure I copy paste my performance every single day. Nothing changes. I don't yell for anyone new. I pick my four people that I'm going to yell, and I keep it the exact same every single day. So that way it's consistent. So when I walk out there, I can slightly go on autopilot. I like to still be locked in and make sure that I don't do something stupid, but I don't think so hard about going through the steps. I let my body take over and I let the muscle memory take over, because your brain has to practice, going through the motions just as your body does. And when you learn how to, like, kind of take that veil off to where I can just have fun and my body is just going to do what it's been doing. Like, that's, I think, when you really do walk away with the best performances of your life. Like, when I walked out there last year on the band shell, I had zero doubt in my mind that we were, like, we're not going to hit. Like, I knew we were going to hit. And I knew, based on the vibe that everyone, like, their faces, like, everyone's face was on, I was like, oh, we're about to smack this routine. I was like, we got this. And my rookie year, I will say, I was a little too present. I was thinking about how to do the skills a little too closely. And I did have a bobble, but I wasn't, like, a deduction, And it was still a performance that I was happy with, because that was my first ever college performance. And my goal that year was to hit. Last year, my goal was to win. And I will say, like, if you're able to just let your body do the skills, which it has done thousands of times, rather than trying to think, like, oh my gosh, how do I do a back handspring double up, like, under pressure, like, you're it's not going to work. So you have to have a way to kind of get on autopilot and let your body take over.
Yes. And that, I mean, that's it. It's like textbook sports psych. You do the same thing. So if what you do in practice works great, and then you go and compete and you're a nervous wreck, well, do the same thing you did at practice. If you're chatting with your friends and you're just hanging out and you're do like a co like visualize a couple and then just sort of hop around. If that's all you would do in practice, then don't go to competition and listen to the headphones and do a bunch of extra stuff. Like you do the exact same thing and
Same
you're going to
thing.
get the exact same result. Now, how far back do you take your pre-performance routine, so to speak? You know, do you have like a whole month before, week before, day before, night before thing that kind of just like that pre-flight checklist before you compete that works for you?
Yes, I do, actually. And it's super detailed and funny. So, another little backstory, I have really bad ADHD, as, like, 90% of the rest of gymnasts do. Like, everyone has ADHD bad. I take medication for it now as an adult because it's really hard for me. I'm also a biomedical engineering major, so I have really hard classes on top of the, like, high level extreme sport. So I have to figure out a way to try to, like, manage my life. And I also stopped taking my ADHD medicine 20 days before I compete, because there was a time in gymnastics my sophomore year of high school, and I took my medicine that day. And I don't know if it was, like, a chemical imbalance or what, but I had a full-blown anxiety attack, and it was the scariest thing of my life, doing a souk, and my arms were literally like this. Like, I can't even explain. Sounds really dramatic, but it was dramatic. Like, and I couldn't control my own body. And I had to do like a pirouette and I think a giant to a full or something like that. And I just couldn't even feel my legs or anything. And it was super dangerous too. So since that day, I have like never, ever taken my medicine anywhere near a competition again because luckily that was like not a super important competition that year. But it was still something involving our rankings with the team. And you know how they put you in score order when you go into gymnastics? Me doing really bad that competition didn't give me a good score order. So I like chose from that day forward to never take my medicine around the competition time. So I stopped taking my medicine 2 days ago because we compete in exactly 2.5 weeks from today for Daytona. And I also go to bed every night visualizing my partner scent routine and my team routine. And then as it gets closer, I visualize it even more. Like when I wake up in the morning, if I'm brushing my teeth, I visualize it. Or at night, I'll visualize it 3 to 5 times. Since the team routine is like 3.5, or no, it's 2.5 minutes long, I'll visualize that once or twice. But my partner scent routine, when it's like the night before, I'm doing it about 8 to 10 times because that was another thing I wish I had listened to everyone with in gymnastics was visualizing. And that's like a skill I feel like that comes with a lot of practice over time. But I used to think it was stupid, honestly, as a kid, and I never did it in gymnastics. And my mom used to be like, Haley, why don't you visualize your bar routine? And I was like, nah, I'm good. I was like, I got this. But now looking back, like that is really like a superpower. Like that's how you train your brain to do what it does. Like your body is not active. This is your brain getting trained. And I think that that is like the most important skill, honestly. Your body can have it, but if your brain is not on the same page, like you've lost. And that is definitely my like pregame regimen. I also drink this, yeah, like I'm really superstitious. So I have Spark like packets. And I'll pour like exactly half of it into a water bottle and then drink exactly half of that water bottle before I go and compete. Cause it gets me like just the right amount of adrenaline and caffeine going to the point that I'm not shaky, but to the point where I'm like, oh, I got this, you know, like this confidence that I need. And then I'm also kind of big on like what I eat before. I personally like competing in the morning. I hate waiting all day long to compete. I don't like it very much. And I also, it's hard for me to eat when I'm getting nerves. So I make sure to always have Go-Go's with me, like Go-Go applesauces, because they have the right amount of sugar in it to keep you from crashing and to also still give you energy. And then I'll drink like smoothies or like fruit. I try to eat like super natural. And then I carb load the night before. Like I'll eat pasta the night before. And I love pasta. Or I'll do rice and chicken, some type of protein and carb just to make sure that I have the energy I need for the next day. And also music, super big on music when I go out there. Another technique just to give everyone practice on. I do this, I started doing this last year. Anytime I'm about to do what we call like a full out, which for y'all would be a like a routine run through, you know, I don't in gymnastics, we used to do like 5 to 7 routine run throughs every practice on each event. So it kind of got to be a lot. But to me, the most important run through is the first one that you do. The ones that come after that are just for muscle memory. Those don't actually give you any type of confidence. It's what you're able to do the first time you go out there. So anytime I'm about to do my first performance, I get myself as nervous as possible. I practice thinking about literally everything that could go wrong. And this is what I do in practice, not at competition. At practice, I go through every possible thing that could go wrong. And then I practice getting myself nervous and making my heart do the beady thing. And then I practice calming myself back down, like with the self reassurance, like being kind to yourself, the self-confidence talk, the validation, the deep breaths. So when I'm at Daytona, when that stuff will all happen naturally, I've already practiced on how to like get my body and my mind to calm down.
Wow. That's there's
Yes.
a rock climber who climbs these incredible rock faces with no ropes. So like
Oh, wow.
crazy anxiety. And so he actually does imagery imagining himself panicking at the top. Imagining that fear and imagining himself calming it down. I mean, that's a skill in and of itself, is not to go, I hope I don't get nervous. Oh no, what if I get nervous? You go, no, I'm gonna be nervous.
Yes,
And
you will.
here's how I'm gonna deal with that. And I can be 9 out of 10 nervous and still kill it. So
And
let's
still
go.
kill it. Yep.
Yeah. So that's so great. So many great tips there, because then it's, you don't have decisions to make the day
Right.
of. There are no decisions to make for a month. You already know this is what it looks like a month before. And then you don't have to burn those brain calories on what am I going to eat? Oh no, I don't feel like eating. It's like, no, this, I always don't feel like eating. And this is what I eat anyway, so that I have the fuel. And this is what I do before. This is the playlist. Like, let's just go. Then it's all on autopilot and you can just perform
and just have fun.
And be with your team. Amazing. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited to watch you at Daytona.
Thank you. I'm so excited too.
And for anybody who wants to follow you, who is not already, where can they find you?
I'm on Instagram. My Instagram is Haley, H-A-I-L-E-Y underscore Delin. And I'm also on TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube with the same exact username.
Awesome. And we'll link to that in the show notes too. Haley, it's been so fun getting to know you. I'm so excited. I'm rooting for you.
Thank you.
2032 Olympics, here we come. And it's been such a gift. So nice to meet you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I had so much fun.
Thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode of the Perform Happy Podcast. If you're ready to unlock your maximum sport potential, head over to performhappy.com and join us. You'll be training alongside world champion athletes and Olympic hopefuls. And I will personally take you through my research-based system for overcoming fear and mental blocks, building confidence, and finding your flow. I'm Coach Rebecca Smith, and I'll see you next time.